Beloved, as I indicated earlier, the text of the sermon is Luke 5, 1 to 11, the miracle of the miraculous draught of fishes. Beloved, this is not the first meeting between Peter and Jesus Christ. It is, however, his call, although not his first call, to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. It is his call to be a permanent, lifelong, full-time disciple of Jesus Christ. Before this, Peter had been a fisherman. He was a follower of Jesus Christ, but he was also a fisherman. After this miracle, he is no longer a fisherman, but as verse 11 puts it, they forsook all and followed him. After Luke 5, that is, after the miracle recorded here, Peter and James and John, and also probably Andrew, who was also a fisherman, left behind their family and their business and their possessions, and they followed Jesus Christ. From that moment, they would no longer look back to their life as fishermen because they had a new calling. And that calling, Jesus says, is this: thou shalt catch men, or I will make you fishers of men. And before he called them to the work of being fishers of men, he taught them. And as he often did, he taught them by means of a miracle. And this miracle of the miraculous draught of fishes, like all of the miracles of Jesus, had a purpose. It had a specific purpose to teach Peter and the others something about his, Christ's, power as the Savior. We must remember that when we look at the miracles of Jesus in the Bible, they are illustrations of the power of Jesus as Savior. And this miracle was to teach them that Jesus had the power to make them that to which he was calling them. That is, he had the power to make them who were fishers of fish, fishers of men. Notice then, fishing for men. Fishing for men. Notice first a discouraging work, then an urgent command, and finally an astonishing power. As we meet Peter in Luke chapter 5, he has had a discouraging night. He and his companions had been on the Sea of Galilee all night, but they had caught nothing. Verse 5, Peter confesses, "Master, we have toiled." To toil is to engage in difficult, physically demanding labor. And that was the work of a fisherman. A fisherman's work was not easy. It required long, unsociable hours hunting for fish to sell at market. It often required working all night. And here, Peter had had a long, but fruitless, an unsuccessful fishing trip. And Peter and his fellow fishermen were washing and mending their nets, removing from their nets the sand and the pebbles that had clogged up their nets, and repairing the tears in their nets in preparation for going out the next day to try to catch fish again. It is not that Peter and his companions were foolish or bad fishermen. This was their occupation. They knew how to catch fish. They had been doing this, I dare say, from their youth. Their father had taught them this profession. For example, they knew that the best place to catch the fish was in the shallow waters, because there is where a shoal of fish will most likely be near the surface and will therefore be easier to catch. They knew, therefore, that to try to catch fish in the deeper waters was much more difficult, if not impossible, because the fish could hide more successfully from their nets. They also knew the best time to catch fish is not in the middle of the day when the sun is at its highest, but rather at night or at dusk when the fish will venture toward the surface when it is darker. And despite all of that knowledge and skill and experience, Peter had caught nothing. Now, catching fish, even for an experienced fisherman like Peter, is a difficult and discouraging work for one main reason. Fish do not want to be caught. That's the one main reason why fishing is difficult. Fish do not want to be caught. Fish are happy in the water. For the fish, the natural environment in which they live is the water. And by definition, a fisherman is seeking to drag the fish out of the water into his boat. And so the fish are naturally alarmed by what looks like danger to them. The presence of humans will frighten away the fish. Boats will frighten away the fish. Nets and fishing lines, these things frighten fish. And when a fish does actually bite the hook or get trapped in the net, then it struggles to get free. And you have to have a lot of strength and skill to bring that fish into the boat. And if you manage to catch a large shoal of fish, let's say, in the net, all those fish together can panic and squirm and wriggle, and the strength is enough to break your net, so they all go free. And therefore, a fisherman needs skill, cunning, experience, persistence, and strength to get the fish from the water where they like to be, into the boat where they do not want to be. And so Simon Peter, in our chapter, just before he's called to be a fisher of men, is made in the providence of God to experience difficulties, challenges, and disappointments, in order to prepare him for a greater calling, which is to be not a fisher of fish, but rather a fisher of men. That's usually in the Bible how God prepares his servants. He gives them a lowly calling, a difficult calling, and he uses that calling, that earthly calling, to prepare them for a greater heavenly spiritual calling in Israel or the church of Jesus Christ. Think, for example, of Moses. God prepared Moses by making him a shepherd. so that he could learn how to shepherd Israel. The same thing is true with David. God made him a shepherd also to teach him the patience and the skill and the humility and all the rest required to be a faithful shepherd king of Israel. God made Peter a fisherman to teach him the skills necessary to become a fisher of men. And that's the way God works with us also. He's using our life. He's molding our life. He's preparing us for our future calling, for our place in the kingdom of God, using all of the lowly and ordinary things that we do to prepare us for our place in his kingdom. We ought therefore not to despise those things. The Pharisees took a look at Peter and his companions and said, lowly fishermen, what could they ever accomplish in this world? And yet we learn later that they noticed that these lowly fishermen had been with Jesus. And that, of course, made all the difference. So in verse 10, Jesus, after the miracle, reveals to Peter what his calling will be. Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. I am taking you from your earthly, lowly, difficult, discouraging calling of catching fish. I'm going to make you into one who catches men, a fisher of men. Now, fishing for fish is a difficult and discouraging work. So is fishing for men. You see that in this very simple figure that Jesus is using here. There are similarities between the activity of fishing for fish and the spiritual activity of fishing for men. There are similarities between the work of a fisherman and the work of a minister or the work of a missionary or the work of a Christian witness. And that's the idea here. The sea, the vast sea in which the fish are swimming, is the wicked world of sin and death. And as the sea is deep and dark and mysterious, and as the sea contains all kinds of fish, so the world is deep and dark and contains all kinds of men living in all kinds of situations in different nations, living in all kinds of sins. And the calling of the fisher of men is to catch those men and bring them to Jesus Christ. And the way in which we are to catch those men is by the gospel. The preaching of the gospel is like the casting of the net into the sea to catch the men. And our text warns us there will be days and there will be nights when the preacher casts his net into the world and catches nothing. There will be nights when the preacher in his prayers to his Savior will say, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. And then the call will be, clean your net, repair your net, get ready to try again, because fishing for men is your lifelong calling as the Church of Jesus Christ. And there are reasons, obvious reasons, why fishing for men is difficult and discouraging for the preacher himself, for the elders who oversee the work of the preacher, and for the members of the church who pray for the preaching. And obviously enough, the first reason is this. Men like fish do not want to be caught. I heard a sermon in the church in which I grew up, in which the minister said in his sermon about this passage, or a similar passage, and I quote, "Remember, fish have to want to be caught," end quote. Now that statement puzzled me because it showed gross ignorance not only of theology, because it teaches free will, obviously enough, but it also shows gross ignorance about fishing and about the behavior of fish. And if there had been anyone in the congregation who knows anything about fishing and fish, they ought to have laughed that man out of the pulpit. Because fish do not want to be caught. And men do not want to be caught either. Men are sinners. Men love their sin. They love to swim, as it were, in the world of sin and death. That's where they were born. That's where they feel that they belong. That's where they feel comfortable. And when the preacher comes, the preacher of the gospel comes to these sinners, these fish, with his net, with his hook, with his bait, and cast these things into the sea where the men are swimming in their sin, the natural response of the fish is to swim away. It is to flee from the net. It is to avoid the net. And so they avoid listening to the preaching. They stay away from those places where they know the net will be cast, or they oppose the preaching, or they despise the preaching, or they reject the preaching, but they will not be caught, not without a fight. And the second reason that fishing for men is as difficult as fishing for fish is because fish are difficult to find. Peter didn't find any fish in the Sea of Galilee. They were hiding from him. They were swimming down in the depths of the sea. He couldn't reach them with his net. They didn't simply swim into the net by themselves because they wanted to be caught. And sometimes the fishing preacher, as it were, doesn't know where to cast his net. Doesn't know the best place to throw down his net. Doesn't know where best to throw down the hook into the water. And some ministers and missionaries will cast the gospel net as faithfully as they can. But guess what? The fish do not swim naturally into their net. And then they might change their tactics. Not their message, must never change the message, but their tactics. And again, it is to no avail. Still the fish do not swim into the net. Perhaps they change location. We'll try to catch fish over here. Or we'll try to catch fish over here. We'll change the day of the week for our lecture, let's say. We'll make a new pamphlet, let's say. We'll put something more on the internet, let's say. And still, the fish do not bite. And sometimes, the missionary thinks he's caught a fish. You know that feeling when there's a tug on the line, you think you've caught a fish. But it might turn out to be not a fish. A turtle, or a crab, or some vegetation at the bottom of the sea. Or perhaps it's a rotten fish. Or perhaps the fish squirms and squirms until it escapes, and there is no fish caught that day. And if Peter, who was an expert fisherman, who had been fishing for many years, could toil all night and catch nothing, it is very possible for a faithful preacher today to toil all night and all week and for weeks and months on end and still to catch no fish, which is why man fishing is a discouraging work. Now Jesus enters into the midst of Peter's discouragement in Luke chapter 5. Jesus had not come to fish. That wasn't his profession. He was a carpenter by profession. But rather, he had come to preach. And a large crowd, we are told, had gathered along the shores of the Sea of Galilee. Verse 1 says, the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God. And Jesus was almost, you might say, in danger of being crushed by the eager crowds. And so he asked Peter that he could use Peter's boat as a pulpit, as a makeshift pulpit. He couldn't stand on the seashore. He gets into the boat. The boat is brought a little way from the shore, and then Jesus, using the boat as a pulpit, addresses the crowd of people and preaches to them the word of God. We're not told specifically what he preached. We don't have a copy of his sermon. But if you turn back to Luke chapter 3, or rather Luke chapter 4, Luke chapter 4, verse 43, and he said unto them, I must preach the kingdom of God to other cities also, for therefore am I sent. And he preached in the synagogues of Galilee. So we assume, therefore, in chapter 5, he preached the kingdom of God. He taught the people, therefore, about the nature of the kingdom of God. It is a spiritual kingdom. He taught the people that the kingdom is the spiritual rule of Jesus Christ, by which God subdues the power of sin in a man and makes him willing and able to serve and obey God. He taught them about the demands of the kingdom of God upon the citizens of that kingdom. He taught them about the great promises and benefits of that kingdom, the forgiveness of sins, righteousness, and eternal life. And the crowd listened to Jesus. They were attentive to his every word, and Peter listened also. He was a witness to all of this. And when Jesus had finished preaching, verse 4, he gave a command to Peter, which on the face of it is rather unusual, and from Peter's perspective, it was actually foolish. Verse 4, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draft. Now, from an earthly point of view, Jesus' command made no sense. For Jesus was not a fisherman, Jesus was a carpenter. And if the crowd had still been witnessing this and had heard what Jesus said to Peter, they might have said about Jesus, well, he's a great preacher. He knows nothing about fishing. They might even have laughed at the suggestion of Jesus. Because Jesus says here, leave the shallow waters and launch out into the deep. That's the wrong place for fishing. You don't fish in the deep. You fish in the shallow waters. because the fish are easier to catch in the shallow waters. They're far near the surface in the shallow waters. It's also the wrong time to fish. Peter had been fishing all night and had caught nothing. This, therefore, is the morning, perhaps even in the afternoon or the noontime. The wrong time to catch fish. The best time to catch fish is the morning time or the night time, dusk, not in the middle of the day. And why should they be successful now, might Peter reason to himself, when Peter, a veteran fisherman, had fished all night in the right place, at the right time, and without success? He might have said to Jesus, "You know, Jesus, with all due respect, I am the fisherman here. I know how this works. You don't know what you're talking about. I'm not going to do that." But he doesn't do that. He expresses his misgivings, okay. And that's okay to express misgivings. It's not unbelief or disobedience to express misgivings. But he was unsure about this command of Jesus. Notice, he says, "Master, we have toiled." And that word master means one with authority. He recognizes that Jesus Christ is the master, that Jesus Christ has authority. He does not say in arrogance and pride to Jesus, "I'm the master at the fishing. I'm the expert at the fishing." No, he calls Jesus master. He expresses his misgivings to his master, and then he adds, "Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net." It might seem a strange command. The crowd on the shore might find it a foolish command. They might even laugh at him if they knew what he said. Conventional wisdom would say, "This is madness." "Nevertheless, at thy word, master, I will let down the net." Because Jesus, beloved, never issues foolish commands. All his words, all his commands are perfect wisdom. It's not for us to question him. It is for us to obey him. And those who obey him without questioning him, they will be rewarded. And the same command that came to Peter comes to the church today and in every age. It's the same command, verse 4, "Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught." That's the call to be a fisher of men. That's the call that comes to every minister, every missionary, and every Christian witness. Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. Every time the minister or the missionary preaches the gospel, he lets down his net. Every time the Christian witness witnesses to the gospel, he lets down the net. Especially every time the Christian witness or the minister of the gospel or the missionary brings the gospel to the unconverted, or seeks to bring the gospel to the unconverted, he lets down the net for a draft. And so the call comes to the church, the call comes to us, catch fish. That's your calling as the church of Jesus Christ. Catch fish Catch more fish. Catch men who are like fish. Do not be satisfied, says Jesus, with the fish you already have. Do not be discouraged if you caught nothing last week, perhaps. Do not be discouraged if you caught nothing today. But keep on catching fish. Keep on launching into the deep. Keep on letting down the net. And that's what the Church of Christ does when she sends her missionaries into new fields of labor. That's what the Church does when she tries new evangelism events and efforts. That's what the Church does when she goes into new bodies of water, as it were, to look for new fish. And mission committees and evangelism committees in local churches must take this work seriously. The call of Christ, the Church, is to be fishers of men. That's what the apostles did. They preached in one city. They, as it were, let down the net in one place. And having preached there, they went to another city and they preached the gospel there. And went to another city and preached the gospel there. Paul did this, of course. So that the entire Roman Empire of that day had been fished in, you might say. That was also the mission zeal of Jesus in Luke 3:43. I must preach the kingdom of God to other cities also, for therefore am I sent. That means that we here in this Christian church and our mission work in Limerick and the PRC in America with their mission committees must, by our official witness on the Lord's Day, by preaching, by speeches, by literature distribution, by the internet, by personal witnessing, we must be seeking to catch men. That's our calling. Catch men. Not by gimmicks, not by false promises, not by watering down the truth, by clever schemes, but by the preaching of the truth, the simple, everyday casting of our nets into the sea. That's the calling of the Church of Jesus Christ. That's the calling to which Peter and the other fishermen here are called. That's why they leave everything behind of their earthly calling and they devote their lives, the rest of their lives, to this great work of catching men. But the command seems so foolish. It seems so pointless. We're tempted, as Peter was, we're tempted to say to our Lord, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Such frustrations, such misgivings are normal. As long as we add this, nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. Preach, says Jesus. Preach that I am the Son of God. Preach that I am the only Savior. Preach that I am the crucified King and the risen Lord. And we're tempted to say to Jesus, but Lord, we have preached that. And we've caught nothing. No one seems interested in that. The fish, Lord, are not biting. In fact, the people are hostile to that message. Nevertheless, at thy word, we will preach it. It seems to be useless and pointless to bring a message like this, the gospel, which is a message designed, we might say, to offend sinful men and then expect them to believe it. And we're tempted to say to Jesus, but Lord, maybe we should bring a different message. We might have more success if we change the message a little bit to suit the tastes of our modern world. And Jesus says, no, no other message, just the gospel. Preach my gospel, preach it, only it. Do not fear, henceforth you shall catch men with the gospel net. Notice something important about that word catch in verse 10. It doesn't come out in the English translation or any English translation which I looked at in preparation for this sermon. But it means this. It means to catch alive. To catch alive. Fear not, for you shall catch men alive would be a fuller translation. And that's interesting because when you catch fish, you mean to kill them. You drag them out of the water where they flourish, and they die in the boat because they cannot breathe out of the water. You bring them home, you cut off the head of the fish, you gut the fish, you cook the fish, and you eat the fish. But that's not the same thing, of course, with catching men. You don't catch the fish to keep them alive. But man fishing is different. We catch men for life. We catch men to give them life. Jesus did not come to destroy those fish whom he catches in his gospel net. He came to give those men and women, those fish, life. And so the command to the church is, to us, is this: launch out into the deep, let down your nets for a draft, and catch men for life. And that means that the gospel is good news for the fish. Specifically, for the fish which Christ catches. Tell the fish, says Jesus, tell the fish that I, Jesus, have come to give life. Tell the fish that although they think that they are living a wonderful life in the midst of sin and death, that they are actually living in death, and I have come to give them life, that they might have life and have it more abundantly. I have come, says Jesus, to take these fish out of the darkness of the ocean of sin and death and bring them into the waters of life where they will swim in blessedness, knowing God through Jesus Christ forever and ever. That's what man fishing is, beloved. A hard calling. A discouraging calling. Seemingly a foolish calling, but a blessed calling. Now Peter was not able to do that. And Jesus here teaches him and teaches us that we do not of ourselves have the power to do that. The power behind man fishing is the same power that was behind the miraculous draft of fishes in Luke chapter 5, namely the power of Jesus Christ. And so that's what Jesus is teaching Peter here. Almost immediately after Peter lets down the net, in obedience to the command of Jesus, the miracle occurs. In verse 6, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes. The word enclosed means to shut in on all sides. Suddenly, a large shoal of fish come swimming into the net of Peter, a shoal of fish which seemed to have come from nowhere. So many fish there were, verse 6, that their net brake. In other words, it was on the point of breaking. Now, this catch of fishes was something that Simon Peter, although an experienced fisherman, mind you, had never seen before. He had never seen so many fish at one time in his net. He had never felt the strain of the weight of so many struggling fish. And he realized he was in trouble. He couldn't handle this number of fish by himself. If he did not get help soon, the net would break and the catch would be lost. And so Peter and his companions, who are struggling in this one boat with a massive haul of fish, beckon to their partners in the other boat, James and John, and maybe even Andrew, quickly come and help us. And so James and John come to help, and the catch is so great that the fish filled Peter's boat and the boat of James and John, with the result that both of the boats are now filled with fish to the capacity that they were in danger of sinking, and they struggle to bring both boats to shore. What a contrast. We have toiled all night, and we have caught nothing. At the word of Jesus, they catch so many fish that not only is one boat full of fish, but two boats are full of fish, and both those boats are in danger of sinking under the weight of the fish. And all those who saw it, veteran fishermen, mind you, were astonished. Verse 9, he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of fishes which they had taken. This shows us the power of Jesus Christ over the earthly creation. He has dominion as the Son of God. He has dominion over the fish of the sea. He knows where the fish are. He is omniscient. He knows where every single fish in the sea is. But he also has power over the fish. As the Creator, as the Lord of glory, he has the power to say to the fish in the Sea of Galilee, swim into Peter's net now. And not just one fish obeyed the command of Jesus, not just two fish, but a great multitude of fishes obeyed the command of Jesus and swam into the net. And mind you, they did that which was against their nature to do. They did not want to do it, but in command, but when they heard the command of Jesus, they had to obey, and they come, and they almost, you might say, commit suicide in order to serve as an illustration of the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so the encouragement of this for Peter is this. You, Peter, caught nothing by your own efforts. And you will not be a fisher of men by your own efforts either. You must not trust in your own power to bring in the men. You must trust in my power. You launch out into the deep. You let down your nets. I will do the rest. I will take care of the fish. You leave the fish to me. And Peter clearly understood this. He realized that he is not in the presence of just any man. He realizes he is in the presence of deity. Verse 8, he fell down at Jesus' knees saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." Peter worships Jesus here. He has understood what he must understand in preparation for the work that Christ is calling him to do. Peter, you are a sinner. I am the Holy Son of God. I use sinners in my great purpose of catching men. And be encouraged by this, and do not fear, for you will catch men. But only after you have been humbled in the presence of Jesus Christ are you ready to become a fisher of men. And that's true of the missionary and the preacher and the Christian witness. He must have been humbled in the presence of Jesus Christ. He must not go out thinking, "I can save people by my own efforts. I can bring my clever arguments and win men to Jesus Christ by my powers." No, he must not think that. He must realize the power of Jesus Christ is necessary to bring even one man into the gospel net. So our calling is to cast the net. And the work of Christ is to direct the fish into the net as pleases him. The fish do not want to be caught. The fish will avoid the net. The fish will struggle and they will squirm. But Jesus has a power to catch fish. Not one fish, or two fish, or a handful of fish, but a great multitude of fish. And that purpose of Christ cannot be frustrated. However, it's not his purpose to catch all fish. He has fish whom he has chosen who will be caught. If Jesus had wanted to, he could have emptied the Sea of Galilee of fish that day. But he catches a certain specified number of fish. He teaches Peter here, he teaches us here, that he desires to save some fish, not all fish, but many fish, many men, not only a few men, of all different kinds, Jews and Samaritans and Gentiles, bond and free, male and female. And the church must preach in all the world, fishing in all the parts of the world, so that at the end of the world, the boats of the church, as it were, are filled with fish. The power of man fishing, therefore, is not man's free will, it's irresistible grace. Left to himself, no man will be converted. Just as no fish will ever voluntarily consent to be caught in the net. And left to himself, every man who hears the gospel will resist the gospel, will resist Jesus Christ, to avoid being caught in the gospel, which is the net. But there's a power greater than man's will. And that is the power of God's grace. The word of Jesus, by that word, sinners swim into the net of the gospel and are caught by the gospel of grace. The Holy Spirit gives life to sinners who are spiritually dead. He works faith in the hearts of sinners whose hearts are hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. And when Jesus determines to save someone, no power on earth or in hell can stop him. And this, of course, is great encouragement to the minister and to the missionary and to the preacher and to the Christian witness called to fish for men. Imagine how depressed the minister and the missionary must be if man fishing depended upon man's free will, depended upon the free will of the fish, depended upon the power of men to persuade other men to swim into the gospel net. That's very discouraging. But the truth that there are men out there in the sea chosen to everlasting life, those for whom Christ died and whom God will call by his word and Holy Spirit, that gives encouragement and vigor to the fisher of men. Launch out into the deep, says Jesus. Let down your nets and I will bring the fish. And that does not encourage laziness in the church or laziness among the fishermen. It gives them a reason to fish. And so the church must remember the words of Christ to Peter, "Fear not, fear not. From henceforth thou shalt catch men." Do not be afraid, says Jesus. Your catching of men will bear fruit. This will be your activity. You will be catching men from now on. This will be the activity of the church until Christ's return. We will not return to our boats until we have done the most important work that Christ has given us to do, which is to see to it by his power that every last fish that God has chosen is brought safely into the net. And that's what the church has been doing for the last 2,000 years. And we will be astonished at the work of Jesus Christ. Beloved, are you not astonished that Christ has caught you? Are you not astonished that Christ has caught one who was swimming in the depths of depravity and sin? Are you not astonished at the power of the gospel in your life, in the lives of the other members of the church, in the life of your family? Do not be tempted, beloved, to underestimate the power of the gospel. And are you not also astonished at the sheer number of souls caught in the gospel net? You might say that the catch in one location seems very small. But consider the big picture. All the souls of men fish caught from the beginning of the world to the end of the world, what a great multitude of men fish that is. And in heaven, you will see the final number. And then we will fall down on our knees before Jesus Christ and praise him for his great work of catching men. In the meantime, we pray to the great fisherman to send more nets into the sea that the fish might be caught and the boats might be full and Jesus might return. Amen. Our Father in heaven, we thank thee for the power of the gospel by which We are caught in the gospel net, and we are brought to life in Jesus Christ. We pray for those especially who have the calling to catch men, who have the calling to cast forth the net of the gospel. We pray that thou wilt encourage them by this word of God, that thou wilt work in their lives and in their missionary work and in their ministries to give them many opportunities to bring the gospel to many, that thou wilt also give fruit upon those laborers according to thy good will and purpose. For Christ's sake we ask it. Amen.